Welcome to the Lucra Podcast. I'm your host, Mindy Kinnis. My goal is to fan the flame of the dream in your heart. As my guests and I share our journeys on the path to success, you'll get an insider's look at how we got to where we are and the beliefs that create our reality. When you follow your heart path to ignite your mind and delight your spirit, you can create a lucrative life of freedom and purpose. Enjoy the show. All right, my friends, welcome back to another episode of the Lucra Podcast. I am here today with, I probably say this all the time, but like one of my favorite people, but it's true that all of these people are my favorite people. Today's favorite person is Deanna Rogers. She is a partner of Roland Fraser. She has multiple companies. So we're going to dig into all of this amazing stuff that she's got going on. Deanna, I'm just delighted to see you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to see you. It's been a little bit, so it's exciting to be here with you and everyone else here.
Yeah, it is always awesome to hang out with you, to see you at events. And one of the like huge reasons, I mean, I had a lot of reasons, but one of the big reasons why I was really interested to get your perspective on this show is I feel like you have one of the best perspectives on business right now. Because you work with so many different people and you facilitate so many amazing, incredible events that you, I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like you have a really unique perspective. And I'd like to just kind of start the conversation talking about what you see in business entrepreneurialism these days, right now.
Well, there's definitely a shift since COVID, right? So We've seen a lot of different things change that, you have it. And I think, you know, Roland and I were actually talking about this last night of like, you don't even have something to measure it by. What we thought was accurate for, you know, this month, the same time last year was different because people are different. People are traveling different. People are spending money differently. So it's very unique, especially with events and just business in general. We're seeing a shift that we haven't had in a while. And so, you know, COVID changed things. People didn't want to travel as much. And then you have like a year and a half later, and then everybody wants to travel. And then now, I mean, everybody was like on this mission. I got to get out. I got to, you know, and then now it's kind of shifted a little bit differently. So you're seeing people not as much, or if they are, they're being very selective where they're going. And you're seeing a shift in, where people that were staying home and working more so were doing a lot more of online business, a lot online, courses, coaching, all of those things. You're seeing a little bit of them taking that back a little bit because more people are now going back into a business or a building or whatever that is, and they're putting teams back together. And so you're seeing a little bit of a shift that we haven't had. So what we thought was back to norm last summer was a little bit different this summer, for sure.
I love that it's like normal. I have to put quotes on that though, because it's like, what does that even mean? I don't even know. Normal. Like what? I love what you were saying though, is like we don't even have something to contrast it to or compare it to, because it's just, here we are now. Okay, it's different yet again.
Yeah, and it's just, there's nothing to measure it by other than you're in the season that you're in. Yeah. How do you adapt to that and pivot and change and figure out how to make it work with where you are?
Yeah. So I'd love to talk about that a little bit, because I know that in our whole industry, I mean, multiple different industries, we all experience this big upheaval of like, okay, everything is different now. What do we do with this? So with you all, how did you navigate some of those pivots and turns and, you know, to experience what we're in today? Like, how do you even navigate that?
Well, we were in, you know, obviously we have an event company and we were in the event business. Like that's what we did, right?
That's how I know you. So
that's what we did. We were doing 40 to 50 events a year. That's all we knew, really, right? And so it was such a different animal. But Roland and I were actually at an event when the world shut down, right? Like they literally, the hotel came and told us, they said, we're canceling your event. You have to have everybody go home. I would suggest you go to the airport.
Wait, it was like in the middle of your event?
Oh no, it was the night of the event starting. So we were there setting up with our AV team. We had the table set. We had the books out. Like we were going to dinner to have the reception at the bar, you know, the night before. And then the hotel came and said, yeah, we're canceling. Like you got to go. And so, you know, we've never experienced that before. And so we pack up and we go home thinking, yeah, this is kind of a, you know, awkward thing to do, but it'll be fine. We'll reschedule. And then, you know, obviously, you know,
Right.
it was over a year before we were actually back in the full swing. But what we did was we went straight back into, okay, well, what do we do? Because that's all we knew was events, really. And how do we take our courses and the coaching and what we teach and still deliver it? And so we went into challenges and virtual live events, and we pivoted that way. And we've been doing that for the, you know, now we are on our challenges. We're on number 37.
Oh,
So we
wow.
do basically one a month, and we've been doing them since then. And we've changed the course of our business and turned that into a $10 million, what would have just been a virtual side thing has now become a full-on business, right?
That
And
is
so,
awesome.
yeah, and it's been really great because we've been able to change that, and we're now pivoting again. We see a, you know, a decrease in where people are necessarily always showing up on challenges or online virtual events, and so now they want to get back into live events, right? And so getting back into the swing of that. And so that course alone, we've done 9 events and started back again of getting that going. So you just have to be, you have to pay attention to your audience and what they're looking for and your surroundings, obviously, which is what COVID did for us, and be willing to adapt. And I think what a lot of people did is they obviously kind of shut down and just thought, oh, that's it, we got to stop. But
Right.
there's not an option. You don't just stop. You just figure it out and you move on, right?
Well, I mean, I guess if you do stop, your business stops and everything else stops too. So that, you know, is the options that you do have. So I want to hear a little bit about your journey. You have all these different things going on. You're super crazy busy, but like managed to show up as your beautiful, brilliant self like every time I freaking see you, which is awesome. But tell me a little bit about the journey. How did you get into doing all these things and having all these companies?
Well, it's been a fun journey. And I always say it's like it's the pebbles that are in your path that just make the pathway, right? So you have to get all those stones, and they may not always be fun at the time, but they're what makes the pathway for you. And so, you know, I'm a mom of 3 boys. They're adults right now. I have a 31, a 28, and a 26-year-old, all boys. And then I have 4 grandkids. I used to be a single mom at one time. I had stage 4 cancer. And when I met my husband now, my husband, I've been married for almost 17 years now. But when I met him, I didn't have hair and I had 3 little boys. And so, you know, he took on a little package that he didn't have to take on. But, you know, nothing was going to stop me. I had to survive. I had to create businesses in order to support my children and to support our lifestyle. And then, you know, obviously my husband is absolutely a go-getter, and he just pushes me all the time. Like he'll say, what'd you do today? And I'll tell him, he's like, you should have done better than that. Like, you know, he pushes me,
Yes.
you know. So that was kind of just, that was what I needed. And you know, I fought the cancer battle and I won. And then along the way, I've just made new things of where, okay, this is what I want to, this is who I want to align myself with. This is the people I want to be around. This is what I want to see out of a company. And so I was very, I want to say blessed is the word I would use, to have met Roland Frazier about 16 years ago. I guess it's been now, maybe, yeah, 16 years ago. And in the real estate space, and I created an event company, and I was doing real estate events at that time and trying to blow up my name. And I, you know, I didn't know what I didn't know now, but I was trying to do the marketing at the time and get out there. And so I started in real estate, and Roland was speaking on real estate stages, and I got to know him. And then I started my another company called AMG, Affiliate Mastermind Group, and I wrote a couple books and decided I'm going to get myself out there and really grow. And Roland came in and was part of like spoke on my stages, which was such a fun thing to be able to say, hey, Roland Frazier, will you speak on my stage? And he came in. And then a couple of years later, we just had this really good friendship of me being able to reach out and utilize them. And then a couple of years later, he came and said, hey, there's this little thing called Traffic and Conversion Summit, and I'm going to come
Little
in as
thing.
yeah. And You know, it'd be really great to bring you in and you and your team, and let's figure out how that works. And so in 2013, I believe. Yeah, 2013. No, 2012. 2012.
It's hard to keep track now, right?
All right. 2012, I was able to join the digital marketer family at that time. And I was able to spend 10 years of that building with Ryan Dice and Roland Frazier and Richard Linder and all of them with the you know, Traffic and Conversion Summit. And so just having a little piece of that and being able to say, hey, I had a hand in helping and doing the back end of the event side of it was just such a joy. And then obviously they've sold it, but you know, that's kind of where I started. And then when COVID happened, you know, we shifted and Roland created a company called Epic, which is Ethically Profit in Crisis, and brought me on as a partner. And I've been very blessed to be his business partner in that. And then we've spun off a couple of other side companies since then and a mastermind.
I'm like laughing over here because I'm like, of course you have.
Spun off a few little things, and then we did a mastermind with Damon John that we're partners in, and then I also spun back up the new event company because I was like, yeah, you know, it's time to bring back events. So and then my son runs that, my 31-year-old son runs that company. But it's just one of those things. I've been very blessed to surround myself with people that are much smarter than me, and I learn from them every day. And I think a lot of people pay a lot of money to be in the room with people like Ryan Dice and Roland Frazier, and I'm just blessed to be able to do that and be a partner with them.
Yeah, but it's not like just, it's like they are very blessed to have you in that team because you create the whole thing. None of that would even happen if that wasn't for you. So like they may be.
No, that's a team effort. I appreciate you saying that, but every one of us has a role, and it's so great to be able to be a part of that.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. Definitely. Now with all of those like 80 billion things that you have going on, what's your most favorite? Like what, I mean, I know a lot of it lights you up, but if you had to pick like one thing that you're like, ooh, like that is just the pinnacle. What is it for you?
You know, I would have said, I mean, had you asked me a couple years ago, it's always events because I loved events, right? And I still love events. I'm getting kind of to a point now, since my son's kind of taken over that piece of it, that now my mindset has shifted to the acquisitions of companies. And I love the chase of it. I think it's just the chase, right? Like, it's like, yeah. Ooh. Can we do that? Let's figure out how to do that for consulting for equity. Let's get that. That could be a roll up under event company. So like, I think for me, it's that chase now. And so, although I love events, I love that. I think my desire has shifted in the last 2.5 years for sure, probably 3, but 2.5 for sure. There's been a different, just a fuel in me that it's like, yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Yeah.
And I love that.
I can sit in a restaurant and be like, you know, I wonder if this is for sale.
Just everything is now focused on that. That's so great. And just that you continue to follow into, you know, where your heart is leading, like which things are bringing you joy, and then just like dive all in. I absolutely love that. I do want to retrace a little bit something that you said. That is not an insignificant health challenge that you had. On top of that, I know that your husband also has had significant health challenges. Can you speak a little bit to the what you may have done to get through those times, or the how you got through those times? Because I know that there are people in our audience right now listening that are in it, you know, that are having experiences like that, not insignificant health stuff that comes up.
Well, and you know, because you've had a history as well with your, you know, with your past. But, you know, I think it just goes to not giving up and having that spirit in you. There's something about like that fighter. I just had a fight spirit in me. And I've always been that. I've always been a little spitfire, my mom used to say, right? And so I just couldn't give up. That was not an option. I didn't have an option to give up. I had 3 little boys, and they needed me. And so I chose, you know, I had family around me that supported and prayed and took care of me and helped me, but you know, I had to still support 3 little guys. And so I basically had a really cool doctor at the time, and he said, You can cry one time and then you don't come back and cry again. And I thought he had the worst bedside manners ever. I'm not joking. I was like, this doctor's, I'm out. Like, this doctor is horrible, right? And then I went home and I cried and I got it out of my system. And then I was like, I'm going to go back and just tell him what I think. So I go back the next day and he's just like, are you done? And I was like, yeah, I'm done. And he's like, okay, now you can be my patient. He goes, but you can't cry again. And I know that sounds so horrible, but what for me, he knew what I needed,
It
right?
was, yeah.
It was what I needed is that, okay. And so he's like, you take control and you control that. And I want to see you fight. I don't want to see you give up. And that's
Oh
what
my
he was
gosh,
trying
that
to
just gave me chills. Yes.
He was trying to tell me that. I think his bedside manners was a little bit misconstrued,
Maybe you could have done it a little differently, but.
but it irked me enough that I was like, oh, really? You know? And so I controlled it. I shaved. We had a party and my girlfriends came and we shaved my head and we went wig shopping. And so rather than me losing my hair, I controlled
You
how I
chose
looked.
it.
I chose what I did. And so every little thing was more of me making that choice. I chose that. I, you know, and so it was just, I think that helped me mentally to be able to say, you know what, I'll tell you what though. So from 2000 to 2005 was when I was going through chemo and radiation, and I never had a bad hair day. Like, now I have to curl my hair. Like, come on. Like, you just, I had, no joke, y'all, I'm going to just give y'all a little visual. I had a big walk, like a massive walk-in closet, and I had hooks all up on the wall. I had probably 50 wigs.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
I could pick any, I could be red hair, blonde, brown, curly, short, long, it didn't matter. I picked my mood. I could be that day. Like, you talk about multiple personalities, you could do that with a wig. But you know what it did is it gave me that confidence. And I needed that. That's what I had to have in order to fight. And so I was able, it's funny, but that wig made a big difference in me. That allowed me to get up that morning, put that wig on, get my day started and fight, right? Versus seeing a bald head and then feeling like you're sick. And that just wasn't an option for me. So I controlled everything. I was very much in control of that. And the funny story, which you've kind of alluded to here, is that, you know, the three boys were mine and I met my husband. So my husband meets me and I'm bald and he accepts that and he takes me and three children on. And then, you know, fast forward to 3 years ago, my husband had a disease that caused liver failure, and it's a hereditary disease. And my son, who the 26-year-old now, at the time, was the perfect match and gave him the liver and gave him 67% of that liver. And so my son, who's not biologically his, was able to be the perfect match for my husband. And even his siblings were not able to be a match because of the webbing and the pattern of what they have to do. It's amazing with what they do. But my son, who was able to give him a liver. And so, you know, we went through that journey and that was such an amazing journey together as a family, because we always say he saved us years ago and that was our chance to save him. So that just made our family unit much stronger. And, you know, we've got health issues now and he's still dealing with those and we'll deal with them as a family. But, you know, it's an interesting ride. And we, along the way, just have decided we control that. We will never be a victim to anything. We will control that outcome.
I freaking love that. I'm like practically crying over here. Just hearing, even though I know the story already, just hearing you tell it again, I'm like, oh. So what is it that gives you that fight, that gives you that confidence, that gives you all of that stuff that you, you know, needed during your cancer journey, but also like you need that in business too. What is it that gives you that in business? Because it's not a wig that you can put on, but what is it?
For business, I guess it's what I take pride in, right? Like I'm very proud of what I work on and I take that very seriously. And so everything I do, I want it to be 100% or 150%. So it's like going to work every day, going to my desk every day and saying, okay, what can I do? And how am I going to do it to the best of my ability? I don't want to let others down. I hate letting others down. It's like probably my weakness of like, I don't want to let them down. But I think it's just also, you know, creating a legacy for my children. You know, I want to have these companies that I can give them generational wealth, that I can hand out. The best thing that I ever did was being able to hand this event company to my 31-year-old and say, here, this can be yours. Take it and run with it. Otherwise, I'm probably not going to have the bandwidth to keep it up. And he's been doing it for over a year now, and he's doing an amazing job. And that was the best thing I could do, was be able to hand him something and say, take this company and do something with it. And, you know, I think that's really important, is that we have the ability to do that. And so I want to keep growing and keep acquiring companies and keep building things with Roland and making, you know, that generational wealth for my family, so that my children have something to remember me by. And so that's, I think, the real, again, if you go back to every single thing, it's always been my kids. My boys are my, you know, my world. And now obviously I have four grandchildren, but my boys were everything. And so everything I did was for them. And now it's still for them. It's that generational wealth.
That's awesome. So that actually leads us right into a question that I ask all of my guests on this show, is what does wealth mean to you? How would you define it?
I think it's allowing you to live the life that you want, no matter what it is. Like, you know, like my son would probably have a different answer for what wealth is running the company than I do, right? Yeah. And so what I see as a bar to meet at is probably a different bar than what he wants to meet at. But if you are content and you are happy with where you're at, and you've set enough, you know, money or whatever it is aside that you're comfortable, then that to me as well. To me, it's not having to have millions. It's not having to have, I will tell you all, if I can pivot for one second, I'm going to tell you all.
Yeah, go for it.
Because I'll tell you what, y'all, I am a workaholic. Like, I'm not joking. Well,
I mean, I don't know if they could tell that, no, but I'm like, we know this.
I'll start at like 6:30 in the morning and I'll go until midnight. Like, I will have, my laptop is glued to me all the time. And my family always had told me, Deanna, you've got to figure out a work-life balance. Cause that's the one thing I really am bad about. Like, okay. I'm really bad about it. But 2 weeks ago, my husband and I, we had a beach house, and we decided to sell the beach house because it was like a 4.5 hour drive down to the beach and our kids just never used it. We decided to buy a lake house. So 2 weeks ago, we bought this lake house, and I have found myself, because I'm only an hour away from my house to the lake house, that I'm outside feeding deer at 7 o'clock at night. Like, there's 18 deer in my front yard last night, and I'm just like feeding them. And then I've got like the lake where I've got like catfish, and I've been feeding catfish. And it's so funny, because that's not normally me at all. If y'all know me, that's not me. But it has brought something out of me that it's like, this is my 1 hour of Zen. This is my time that I can just go outside. And my husband laughs at me. He's like, you're like feeding and naming the deer in our yard, Deanna. But that's what makes me happy. So to me right now, that's wealth. To me, my lifestyle, the things that I've done, has allowed us to have this lake house that has now allowed me to be able to go outside every day and feed my deer. But I've got things spread up, right? That's wealth. Now, it's not, hey, this is the millions and millions and millions that somebody else might say. But to me, having the lifestyle that I can come and work from my lake house and go outside and feed my deer, that is wealth to me. And that's how I think you have to just define it for you.
I freaking love that answer so much, because what a better example of the experiential aspect of it. Because like, yeah, okay, it does take money to do some of those things, and it does take planning and time and all of this, but to have the freedom then to go feed the catfish.
I mean, deer, like feed your deer and feed your catfish. Like, it's so funny. I have like a freaking massive koi pond out there because, you know, it's a lake, and they, you know, I feed them. But that is a joy now that I, had you asked me 3 weeks ago, I never would have admitted that. But
I'm so happy that we are having this conversation exactly here and now today.
Oh, the little things.
Everything works out so perfectly. Okay. So I have this 4-part question. And okay. I'm really curious about all the parts from you, because what this question allows us to do as observers or listeners is to say, okay, how the heck does she do all these things? It's based on the acronym HERB, H-E-R-B. So the H in HERB stands for habits. What are some of your habits that allow you to be as productive as you are, to go from 6 a.m. to whatever time at night? Like, what habits drive that energy in you?
I do time blocking. So I'm really good about, like, I time block my day of like, there's certain things that I work on this company during those hours, and there's certain things that I do because, like this site, like the event company, I'm so busy doing like our Epic company, like from 8:45 on, I'm on Zooms until like 6 o'clock at night. So
oh my
like,
gosh.
Like I'm on Zooms every 30 minutes, like throughout the entire day. My calendar is crazy, but then I know like, okay, from 6 to 8 or whatever that is, those 2 hours, okay, I'm going to focus on this event company and make sure my son has everything he needs. Or then after I go to dinner, my husband and I have dinner, then I'll come back and I'm like, okay, I'm working on, maybe I'm trying to acquire this other company. So this is my focus time for acquisitions for personal, like, right. So like things like that, that I'm very good about time blocking so that I feel like I've checked those boxes and haven't missed something. That's really important.
Yeah. And this is so great to me because it just showcases how different all of us are, because you talk about a schedule like that, just back to back to back to back to back. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds like a horrendous nightmare to me. Whereas for you, you're just productive, getting stuff done, talking to people, making things happen. And so, dear listener, I want you all to recognize there is not one right way. You can learn from all of our different examples and see different ways of doing things and then figure out what works best for you all individually. So that was awesome. The E in herb stands for environment. Now, you already alluded to this lake house and the environment that that has kind of created for you. But even in your normal workspace or your car, any physical space, what are some of the things that are important to you about your environment so that you can stay as productive and focused as you do?
Well, here, this is funny. I've learned this from Roland Fraser. I always joke about this. It's a, I love to travel. And obviously in the event space, we travel all the time. So I travel all the time. Like we're on the road 2 to 3 weeks a month, right? So we're always on the road. During the summer, this summer, out of June, July, and August, I was only home 6 days total, period, the whole time. So like we were on the road, literally, I come home for a day, wash clothes and pack up and went again, you know? And so we're on the road. But the one thing I would say is that there's a certain way that I like to travel. There's certain hotels that I like to stay at. And then I will reward myself for certain restaurants or places that I'd like to go. And those are the things that I reward myself with, or that I've come to work with, because there's just things that we like. And Roland has spoiled me in many years of being around. If you know Roland Fraser, and you know,
you always have like a $80 million bottle of wine.
I mean, it's funny because your style changes, right? And if I could just be 1/10 of him, that would be great. That's my aspiration. But you know, but it is true. Like there's a certain level that I've expected of myself now, because it's funny how, if you don't, you won't keep working to achieve that. And so, and this is a really funny thing that we'll get back to, but like, if I ever hit a big milestone, I go buy myself something. And my husband always laughs because he knows when I hit a milestone, he's like, oh, she's shopping, right? Like, I literally 2 weeks ago, I was on Rodeo Drive and I sent him a text. He's like, I already know where you're at. I saw your pin. I know where you are.
Right.
And he knew that I was buying something. There was a reason for that, because now every single time I see that one thing, it reminds me of that one thing I hit. And there was something I really hit, that it was a personal goal that I really wanted to hit. And I hit it with the team and everything. And I was like, so excited, because that was a personal moment. Like that was something I all year long was like, that's what I wanted to hit. And we did it. So, I mean, mind you, money's great. Kudos are great. Going and celebrating is great. But I will go buy myself one thing, and that one thing. So if I said, for example, this one was a purse that I wanted, and I really wanted this one particular purse, and I got it. So now every time I'm walking around with it, it reminds me of that one, that time I hit that goal, and I'm so excited. And so guess what? You work harder the next time you have that next goal, and the next goal, and the next goal, because you're like, oh, there's something else that I want to give myself, right? Or treat yourself. So I think it's important to have those aspirations and then treat yourself. So that way, you know, if you can't, it doesn't have to be something big. It can be something little, but it can be something that you put on your desk and you just look at, and you just, you know, you give yourself kudos all the time for hitting that one goal. That's important to me.
Deanna, I freaking love that, because yeah, it's that imprinting of success in our brains to then seek that next level of success. So absolutely, I'm all about it. The R in herb stands for resources. That could be books, courses, programs. I mean, there's a bazillion resources that we could talk about. But what I'm really interested in is which resources to you personally have been the most impactful on your journey?
Well, I think it sounds really weird for me to say it, but I'm very blessed that I do work with Roland Frazier on a day-to-day basis. So I am like, he's like a walking book.
He is a great resource. I mean,
he is my resource. I learn from him every day. But you know what? He did teach me to always be reading, always learn, always, you know, it's funny. When AI came out, I was kind of like, I'm not going to dive into it. And I'm like, that was so dumb because yes, you've got to dive into everything.
You're probably already like enmeshed in it.
You know, but always learning. Like if mm-hmm. you're not always learning, then you're going to be dead. Like not in a bad way, but I'm just saying like you can't grow if you're not learning. So that's the one thing that Roland always taught me is no matter what it is, whether it's books, whether it's like the one thing that he taught me, and it's such a small thing, but I'll tell you what, it really changed the way I looked at things. Was he'd go, pick out 5 things in the news today that made an impact, and let's figure out how that would impact the business. So now I've got this thing where my whole team goes and they put every single Friday, I have them, they all have to put 5 things that they've seen in the news. And it could be Google News, it could be CNN News, it can be whatever. And so on Fridays when we have this meeting with our team, we kind of talk about, okay, so Bailey, what were the 5 things you found? Hey, Matt, what were the 5 things you found? Da-da-da. And it's funny because right now there's a lot of stuff on AI and there's a lot of things that are like moving the needle with, you know, stocks and stuff, but what it does is it makes you aware of, you know, I should be paying attention because that one thing could impact our business, which then impacts your lifestyle, which then impacts your family. Like it's all connected. Right. And so it's the one little thing of just paying attention to what's happening. And then that makes you realize, oh, well, you know what, out of all that today, did y'all notice that 20 things were about AI? Let's all make this weekend, let's all find one thing and y'all do something with AI. I just encourage you to do that, right? So now you're taking action on what you've seen collectively is happening out in the world. And regardless if you really like it or not, if you learned one thing from it, you learned one thing from it, yeah. Right? So that's what I'm saying, just get out of your comfort zone and do it. But I had to do it by just doing those 5 little things from news a day, right? It's little things like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So the B in herb stands for beliefs. That could be either a spiritual belief or even just a worldview or perspective. But what beliefs have been the just defining factor for you to go through and get through everything you have gone through and also to create the successes that you have? Like, what are the beliefs that shape your reality?
So I am a believer. So my father is a Baptist preacher. So I was raised in a very strong Christian home. So that I do have, and I do believe that I fall on that when I need it. You know, there's been so many times in my journey that I feel like, you know, I've been protected and surrounded. But I will also say too, though, that I also am a firm believer in my family and the ones around you, the people, and they don't necessarily be your family, like by blood. And I don't mean right. that they be blood family. They have to be people that you call family. Right. Because I have some dear friends that they're not blood, but they're my friends. But they're like family. They're the best family ever. Right. Yeah. So I think it's who you surround yourself with, who you trust. You got to know who you trust, who you can lean on, who you can support. And that'll be your biggest cheerleader and that you'll be their biggest cheerleader. Like there's nothing better than when you've just had a really bad day, but yet, you know, you could call someone that you could trust and really just cry on their shoulder or be vulnerable with them, or it's okay to fail at something, but you want to tell some people about that, right? So I think just that you're having your circle of trust, those people that you can rely on, that you call family, that to me, that's who I believe in. That's why I do what I do, is so that I can live the lifestyle that I do with my family, with my grandchildren, with my friends. And so they're the circle that I keep so close around me. I'm very, very close circle. So
that's beautiful. Thank you for that. One final question. If people listening or viewing are like, holy cow, this woman is a badass. I want to follow her extraordinary journey. I want to see what she's all about. Where would you like to send them?
I'm the worst at marketing myself. I'm telling you, I'm horrible. Well,
that's why I'm asking.
You can go on LinkedIn and find me at Deanna Rogers. You can go on Facebook. We have a website for Evolve Events, which is our event company, or you can also find us, Golly, you can find us in Epic, epicnetwork.com. That's one of the companies that Roland Fraser and myself own. So you can go to epicnetwork.com. You'll find me there. That's all about the acquiring businesses. And so I'm in a different, several different places. So yeah, find me. I'd love to connect.
That is awesome. So dear listener, dear viewer, I will link to all those things. If you're watching on YouTube, check the comments down below, or you can find everything in the show notes at lucra.com. Deanna, it's always a joy. It's always a delight. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks ever so much for listening. Whenever you're ready, here are three ways I can help you create a more lucrative life. One, subscribe for free to my lucrative newsletter for weekly insights on business, money, and mindset. Two, join Club Lucra to connect with a like-minded community so that you don't have to go it alone. Three, work with me one-on-one to chart the course from where you are to where you want to be. Everything you need is at lucra.com. That's L-U-C-R-A.com. Lucra, where wealth equals well-being.